of the mouth of God. And I've been living on this word. In Psalm 91, verse 14 and 16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. The second word I've been standing on is Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. God is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Nehemiah 8:10. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, this morning we was listening to worship music, and one of the songs that we listened to, my wife and I, it says the holy place that we can find ourselves is at the feet of Jesus. When we come to that place of worshiping our Lord and our King and our Savior, that's the holy place that we can come and bow before his feet and worship the King. This morning, I'm going to read a text out of Matthew 16, verse 13 through verse 19. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of God am? They responded and said, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others says Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. You see, in verse 19, he gives you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I give you the keys, with an S, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You see, he gave the church the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word this morning. Father, we just bow our hearts before you. Let our ears be attentive to every word that proceeds from your mouth this morning. Father, not only to receive it mentally, Father, or intellectually, but Father, to receive it in our hearts. That your word will grow in our lives, that we can reflect our lives of people of God. That we are born again in the image of Christ. That the world needs to see that we belong to you. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your presence of your Holy Spirit in reading your word. Father, I thank you. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 3, it tells us there was a small group of believers that the Apostle John is writing to. This is the sixth church in Revelation that John is writing this letter to. And the letter was the church of Philadelphia. And he's writing this letter to encourage them, to encourage the Christians there, because they seem too weak and powerless. There was a small body of Christ there in Philadelphia, in the region of Asia Minor. And they were surrounded where the pagans were, temples of worship and pagans. But yet they seem weak. They seem without strength. And he's writing this letter to them to encourage them, to show them the truth and the strength of Christ. That the kingdom of God does not depend on human strength or wisdom, but on God's power and authority. It doesn't depend on man to build his church. He don't care about the wisdom of man, because Christ has the power to build and to take down. In Isaiah 22, it reads that the key of David, and Jesus, the Messiah, is the successor to David, the royal line, as the gatekeeper of heaven. Jesus has the authority to open and close the way to heaven. Let us open our Bibles to the church of brotherly love in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. Hallelujah. Jesus says, all authority was given to me in heaven and earth. All authority is his. These things I say, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the kingdom, the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shut and no one opens. In verse 8, he says, I know the works. I see, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it. For you have little strength, and you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. In verse 9, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who says they are Jews, but they are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come worship before your feet, and know that I have loved you. And verse 10, because you have kept my command and preserved, I also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. You see, as we open those scriptures in the beginning, in verse 7 in Revelation 3, he describes himself. He describes himself as holy. Holy. It means to be apart, unique, special. My Lord is unique and apart and special because he is holy. He is not like everyone else. He is not my friend at the corner. He is not my buddy at the pool hall. He is not the guy I sit at the bar drinking the beer. No, he is holy. And we need to have reverence to him and holiness. The Father gave more authority over heaven and the earth. And he says, I am not just like anyone else. And Isaiah 40, 25 says, God is holy. When Jesus declared himself holy, he declared himself to be God in the fullness, fully man and fully God. In the scripture, we says he describes himself for being holy. And Revelation on the next page over says, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. Holiness. When we come into the place, and I said earlier, this building was dedicated unto the Lord Jesus Christ, probably 40 years ago, maybe more. This place is holy, set apart for God. When we come into this place, we come with reverence in the presence of God. The church in America has become a fellowship of the fellowship. Like a club where people come and mingle together. When I walk in the church, they're talking about the Yankees or they're talking about so-and-so. No conversation about Jesus. We as Christians, we need to have conversation about Jesus. We need to share our testimony. Sister, you know the Lord healed me this week. Hallelujah. I was struggling with my finances and the Lord blessed me. That's what should be our vocabulary. That's our language. We should be bringing glory and honor to his name every day in our lives. We're supposed to be the witness to Christ. The holiness of God. I heard this from a pastor, and he used this analogy. He used the analogy of the dishes in your kitchen. The holiness of God. He says you got the dishes in your sink that are dirty. In the sink. Yes. And then you have the ordinary common dishes that you use every day. But then he said you got the china in the dining room. Hallelujah. That only comes out on special occasions. Hallelujah. I love that. But sometimes we who serve God want to bring Jesus into the dirty dishes. We want to bring the holiness of God into our sinful life where the dishes are dirty. But he is holy. Jesus declared himself holy. And sometimes we want to bring Jesus into that common place in our life like he is my best buddy. How you doing, Jesus? Jesus, I need a favor from you today. That commonplace, no reverence, no showing reverence to who he is, the holiness of God. But then we go to the China. Hallelujah. The holiness of God. When God shows up, the holiness of God, it says those in heaven bow down before him. They bow down before him. When was the last time you went to a place of worship and you bowed down before the holiness of God? Hallelujah. Do you get on your knees when you pray and you seek him? The China, the holiness of God. We go to the bars and we have a beer occasionally. That's okay. We bring Jesus with the dirty dishes on. And then we wonder why the world doesn't want to come into your church. Because we're always in the dirty dishes of our lives. But we don't bring out the china, the best of Jesus. So they can see who we are in Christ. We come to church with our lattes and our coffee. Yes, and we don't bow down before the King of Kings. And then we squeeze in the corner and we have a few seconds to say, Lord, bless us. I'm sorry to tell you. I need Jesus every day. I need Jesus every moment. I'm not going to bring Jesus to the dirty dishes. I'm not going to bring Jesus to the commonplace. I'm going to bring Jesus like the shiner to be a testimony to those around me. Hallelujah. He said, I am truth. Jesus said, I am truth. He describes himself as truth. He is truth. He is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And anything that could contradict his word is a liar. It's a lie. And the Christian people have been buying lies from the enemy. Our church is starting to look like nightclubs. Pastor's got to have blue lights. I went to a church last week, I had blue lights. I said, what's going on in here? Blue lights. I had a friend of mine went to a church. He says, I said, how you feel about the church? He said, I felt I was in a club. I felt I was partying in a club. A concert, he says. And he's a non-believer. I was in a concert. The blue lights flashing. You know, one thing about my friend, Pastor Hamidas in Cuba. He said, Mike, you don't have to dress up the word of God. You don't have to flower it all up and dress it up. No. No, because the word of God has power to change life. The word of God is a double-edged sword that pierces the hearts of sinful man and converts them. Has power in the spirit. We just need to speak the word. We don't have to dress it up. But speak the word. It has power. Because Jesus said, I have power and authority over the heavens and the earth. I have power. His power lives in you and me as Christians. We don't have to dress it up. Just speak the word. Speak the word. He says, I have the keys of David. He opens and no one can shut. Isaiah 22, it says, the key of the house of David. If you notice, singular. Jesus gave the keys with an S to the church. But Jesus says, I have the key, singular. I have the key. He said, I have the master key to open the heavens. And I have the master key to close the heavens. I have the key. He is the master key. Hallelujah. Jesus got the master key to open and shut. But the church has the keys with an S. Hallelujah. Jesus claimed he has access, entrance to every door. He has the authority over every door. He has the master key. When the Bible speaks of the key, he speaks about entrance, access to enter, authority of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, I share this with you. All authority has been given to me in the heavens and earth. Jesus has the master key. He has access to the door and the authority to any door. Jesus says in Matthew 16:19, Jesus says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He is saying, I'm going to share my authority with you. I'm going to share my authority with the church. He goes on to say, whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. He gave the keys of the kingdom to the church. You see, sometimes as Christians, we live our lives and we walk around with the keys. And sometimes we have worldly keys. And we're trying to unlock the door of heaven. But that key does not match with the master key. And we ask Jesus to open the door for us. Our lives are not lining up with the master key. We become poor witness of Christ to the world. He has the master key. When we surrender our lives to Him, when we walk in obedience, that's one of the keys, to walk in obedience to Christ Jesus. The second is to walk in faithfulness in Christ Jesus. And the third is to walk in endurance in Christ Jesus. He has the master key. Amen. Amen. We heard testimony this morning. And He has the master key. He opened up doors where no one can shut. Amen. And He closes doors no one can open. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes our keys doesn't match with the master key. He has a divine authority to open and shut doors. You see, when you use God's key, sometimes we worry so much about people. You know? People don't have the last say. People don't have the last say-so. Because sometimes we get all shook up about people. And we say, they have the power to let me in. They have the power to shut me out. They have the power to raise me up. They have the power to put me down. They have the power to hire me. They have the power to fire me. We all get shook up about people. We go around saying they have the power. They have the power. They have the power. You see, but I know the one who holds the master key. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know the one who has the master key. We know the one who's going to open the door. And the Bible says once He opened the door for you, no one can shut. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, God don't care who they are. God don't care what they do. He has the key. He has the master key. He has the power to open the door for your life. And no one can shut. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we have people walking around with a religious language. They walk around telling you about Jesus with the religious language. You know, I want to say to those people, I want you to remember this. On our best day, on my best day, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner saved by grace on my best day. I want you to remember that. On my best day, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Jesus says, I have the key to the kingdom. I have the master key. I set before you open door, and no one can shut. Hallelujah. In verse 8, He says to the church of Philadelphia, you have little strength, but you kept my word. You have not denied me. You have not denied my name. And sometimes people see us small, weak, without strength. As the church of Philadelphia. But God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to open the door for you. Because you have kept my name. You have honored me in your weakness without strength. You have kept my name. In verse 9, because we've been walking in obedience, in verse 8, they were faithful to his word, and they never denied who Jesus was. So we have to stay strong. We have to walk in obedience. We have to be faithful to his word. And when we go out to witness whatever we live in our lives, not deny the name of Christ. Because he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So if you're a Christian and you walk in and you're ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ, you're walking. Be careful. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. I have the keys to the kingdom. I set an open door no one can shut. In verse 9, it says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. The word synagogue means church. And sometimes we in the church, we got some Satan walking around here. Right in the church. Because remember, they lived in that area of paganism and worship and devil worship. Who says to the Jews, you are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, that I know that I love you. In verse 10, he says, because you have kept my commandments and preserved them, I also will keep you in the hour of trial, which should come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell upon the earth. And again, I'm going to give you my 3 points I gave you early. To live a life of obedience, to live a life of faithfulness, to live a life of endurance. Remember, Jesus is the master key to heaven. He opened doors no one can shut. Shut doors no one can open. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise. He is worthy to be praised. And now I'm going to